Hello, everyone, and welcome to the ACTUS podcast, a bi-weekly program dedicated to bringing you closer to the difference makers in CDI and sharing the latest news relevant to the CDI profession and ACTUS. I'm Linnea Archibald, the Associate Editorial Director for ACTUS, and I will be your host for today's show. We have a great show, as always, lined up for you today, and in just a little while, I'm going to be joined by several members of the ACTUS team, including Rebecca Hendren, Carla Kozak, and Jess Fleagle. Today's show will also feature an interview on the new Sequential Organ Failure Assessment, or SOFA 2 criteria, with Coral Fernandez, RN-CCDS-CCS, who is the CDI Auditor Educator at Baptist Health System, and Pyle Sinha, MBA, RHIA, CCDS-CDIP, CCS-CCSP, CCDSO, CRCR, CRC, who is the Director of Revenue Integrity Audit and Education at Montefiore Medical Center in Tarrytown, New York. Also, a quick reminder that the ACTUS podcast does offer 0.5 ACTUS CEU for the first 4 days after posting, which can be used toward recertifying your CCDS or CCDSO credential. I will share the instructions at the end of the show, so stay tuned for that. So thanks again for joining me today, Coral and Pyle. I am really excited to have you both with me here today to discuss the SOFA 2 criteria that was published at the end of October. So to kick us off, let's just talk a little bit about everyone's favorite topic, sepsis, and its clinical indicators. Could you both share what indicators you use at your organization for sepsis? Coral, would you like to start? And then Pyle, you can jump in.
Sure. Baptist Health is currently using sepsis 2 criteria for clinical validation. If we find an opportunity to ask about an organ dysfunction or failure attributed to sepsis, then we will also do that.
So from our organization, we also use sepsis 2 criteria. So you have to have the infection and the two or more SIRS criteria, like the temperature, heart rate above 90, respiratory rate above 20. And if the organ dysfunction isn't clearly linked to sepsis, that's when we would issue the query.
Perfect. Thank you both. And how does SOFA come into play with sepsis diagnoses, and what are the biggest differences between SOFA and the new SOFA 2 criteria? Pyle, why don't you start, and then Coral, you can jump in.
So I really love the new SOFA 2 criteria. It's still using the 6 organ systems from before, still has the point from 0 to 4, but what it did this time around, it updated like the thresholds, and it explicitly accounts for that modern organ support, right? So in respiratory, cardiovascular, kidney, you could now really incorporate ventilation, vasopressors, dialysis into your scoring, whereas before you didn't really use ECMO or vasopressors of that nature back in the 1990s. So I really like this new criteria and how it allows us to capture the true sepsis.
Absolutely agree with Pyle. The new SOFA table provides a lot more support and a lot more guidance than the original SOFA table from 2016.
Yeah, I was reading that they kind of said that this new criteria sort of brings it in line with current clinical practice. So we sort of touched on this already, but Coral, I'll start with you. Why do you think these changes were so necessary, and what was maybe any downside to the old SOFA criteria?
Part of the downside to the old SOFA criteria was that it was not specifically aligned with current medical management. Some of the vasopressor requirements, for example, were very specific and not aligned with how providers at Baptist, were managing septic shock, a low blood pressure that required vasopressor support. I was able to listen in on a presentation by Dr. Marvin Singer recently, and he explained how much worldwide research had gone into the development of that SOFA 2 table, and it seemed to very much support the diagnosis of sepsis and what sepsis looks like worldwide.
Pyle, I don't know if you have anything to add to that, but what was kind of the downside to the old criteria? Why was this update so necessary?
The ICU care has changed a lot, right? When SOFA was first created in 1990s, this particular SOFA criteria now, it really outlines like the organ support that we're giving with the drugs and devices that have been available. So it really pulls in what the true care looks like in ICU now, as opposed to before. We didn't have enough data, like Coral said. We couldn't really standardize our approach, right? What counts as an organ support, and reduce variations in how organ dysfunction was being interpreted across providers. So I think this is why this change was, you know, was needed.
Awesome. And what do you think the downstream effects of this change will be? Is it going to impact patient care and outcomes, denial volumes, reimbursement, et cetera? Or are we not sure yet? Pyle, do you want to start?
I think for denials, and when it comes to coding, the impact is going to be indirect, right? Because from coding aspect, we're still dependent on the provider giving us that diagnosis of sepsis. What will change is that there will be clear escalation, right, in place for clinically patients that are being treated with sepsis. There will be, you know, better patient outcome, better patient care, because it's better aligned with the modern ICU care. There will be benchmarking that will now be available as a result of using the SOFA 2 criteria. I think we may see a short-term bump when it comes to sepsis clinical validation, not so much in New York State, but in elsewhere, that, you know, if the documentation really supports an infection and organ dysfunction, that's where your payers are going to hone in on and start their denial process.
Yeah, one more kind of tool in your tool belt for fighting denials, hopefully. Coral, what do you think? What are the downstream effects of this change, in your opinion?
I think that this change is going to give those of us in CDI a lot more support and clinical indicators in sending a query regarding sepsis. I think that we are all waiting with bated breath. The OIG has got a evaluation that they have been working on since 2024. And it is studying Medicare claims to assess patterns in the inpatient hospital billing of sepsis in 2023. Their aim is to describe how the billing of sepsis varied among hospitals. And it says they will also estimate the costs to Medicare associated with using the broader rather than the narrower definition of sepsis. I think a lot of facilities that use sepsis 2 criteria are using the sepsis 2 criteria based on the fact that Medicare and a lot of Medicaids are also using sepsis 2 criteria still.
Yeah, time will tell. I feel like anytime you hear things like that coming from the OIG, the warning bells go a little bit. We'll have to just watch and wait, I guess, but be interesting to see how things change over time with the new criteria and tools at everyone's disposal. So my last question for you both kind of gets at one of the core things that CDI does, which is education. So what provider and even staff education is going to be required surrounding this change, and how will it potentially impact your CDI reviews? Coral, do you want to start? And then Pyle, you can jump in.
Sure. We sent out a blanket notification to all of the physicians in the Baptist system in 2018. because after the release of sepsis 3 in 2016, we all of a sudden had a slew of denials. And we were successful at overturning very few of those. So our notification or newsletter email to the physicians at the Baptist system outlined that in the case of a patient who is diagnosed with sepsis, we would be looking for an opportunity to ask about organ dysfunctions or failures due to sepsis. That was a very successful education piece, and we don't have much kickback these days at all when we ask for specific organ dysfunctions or failures due to sepsis.
That's awesome. That is showing that hopefully that your providers are engaged and they kind of understand why you're asking these things and that you're not just asking for no reason. So the fact they're not pushing back is a good sign, I think.
Absolutely. And, you know, just making sure that providers and us, our CDI team, understand exactly what is changing, right? What are the new definitions, the new variables, and what the thresholds are now when using the SOFA2 criteria? And more than anything, separating that clinical diagnosis from that reporting workflows. Like as Coral mentioned, Medicare still uses sepsis 2 criteria, right? We may be following SOFA2 internally, but you still have to separate the two and ensure that the team is aware of it. You have to have that transparency. If not, then we're not going to truly identify patients that are truly septic in nature and interpreting the SOFA2 consistently.
Yeah, it's a complicated balance that you all have to strike between, you know, the most up-to-date new clinical guidelines alongside the fact that the insurers and CMS may not have yet caught up to those criteria. So you're in a little bit of a weird situation in that regard. But as long as everybody's aware and using the most up-to-date references, hopefully some of that mismatch can be mitigated.
If I may, my only thing with SOFA2 criteria, the new one that just published, was that they would have really given us, when it comes to the immune system, given us a scoring, right? Because the white blood count and the lymphocytes, it's expected to be elevated when it comes to like infection or trauma. That was my biggest thing that I was looking for when I read the new criteria, but you know, things will change. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, and then maybe we'll be doing this conversation again in another year or two and talking about SOFA 3, right?
Exactly.
Nothing ever stays the same in life, in CDI particularly, and especially not in the medical field. So keeps you on your toes. Well, thank you so much, Coral and Pyle. This has been a really fun conversation, and we have reached the end of our discussion time today. But as always, if our listeners have any questions about this topic, you can feel free to email the ACTIS team at info@actis.org. I do also want to note that we did a brief article in our CDI Strategies weekly e-newsletter a few weeks ago that highlighted the changes to the SOFA criteria. So I will link that in the show notes if folks want to read more. But until then, thank you so much, Pyle and Coral, and Happy New Year.
Thank you, Linnea.
Thank you. You too.
Well, now it is time for the ACTIS update, our final one of 2025. This is our regular segment featuring the latest news on what's going on inside the association. And as I mentioned in the intro to today's episode, I am thrilled to be joined by Rebecca, Carla, and Jess for our final team update of the year. I hope everybody's enjoying their New Year's celebrations and getting a little bit of a break while they're at it. And though we certainly always have things things to tell you that are upcoming. We did want to spend a little bit of time today highlighting what we already did in 2025 as we enter the new year together. So personally, I think most people listening might know that I have had a big year because I had a baby in February. But it has also been a really big year around Actus and on the podcast specifically.
And I love your dedication to also include the Actus update. As big as well. We were all delighted to welcome the littlest Actus member to the team. So thank you for that.
Yes, of course. Definitely the biggest change for me. But, you know, I don't want to exclude all the fun things we did on the podcast.
That's right.
And to that end, a couple of weeks ago, I did highlight all of the topics that we've covered on the podcast this year in the CDI Strategies weekly e-newsletter, and there were quite a lot of them. So including today's show, we have offered 27 episodes this year with a whopping 34 guests from all areas of the CDI profession. We have covered topics like second level reviews, risk adjustment methodology, pediatric concerns, employee engagement, clinical topics like acute skin failure, sepsis, malnutrition, outpatient CDI, analytics, and a whole host more. And across those episodes, listeners had the opportunity to claim 13.5 Actus CEUs, which would account for 45% of your CCDS or CCDSO recertification requirements over that two-year period. So for Actus members, that means that you could just fully recertify your credential every 2 years just by listening to the podcast and then claiming your members only CEUs through the CDI Journal and our quarterly member calls. So that is a huge, hopefully, benefit to all of our listeners. And I just wanted to make sure that we highlight that for those who are looking to 2026 and thinking about where they're going to get their CEUs. So as we say goodbye to 2025, I'm really proud of what we've accomplished on the podcast this year. And I do want to thank everyone for listening every other week so loyally. We are looking forward to a really wonderful 2026. And we will be kicking things off with some great conversations in January surrounding burnout and its impact on staff metrics and retention, collaborative CDI initiatives, and provider engagement. But aside from the podcast, Jess, I know that the CDI Journal has also had a really great year, and we're looking ahead to a brand new edition in the next few days. So could you tell us a bit about that?
Of course. Anytime I can sneak in talking about the journal, I will happily do so. The CDI Journal is one of our most valuable resources that's available to Actus members, and we really certainly have had a great year with 6 editions published containing a total of 56 articles. Yes, I counted. And each one of them is packed with timely education and curated insight for the CDI profession. So I just wanted to highlight some of the main topics we covered in each one. So back in our January/February edition, we provided an overlook at CDI professional development topics. So that's from applying your unique strengths and experiences to CDI work to CDI leadership essentials that can be missing from your toolbox. And then in the spring, we dove into topics centered around measuring success in CDI, like developing new key performance indicators and how to set effective expectations. And then in the May/June edition, we titled it CDI Innovation, Expansion, Technology, and Workflow. And we had articles about expanding under the pediatric umbrella, developing an outpatient program, and much more. And then in the next edition, you can read articles about CDI onboarding, resident education, curating your CDI education program, because it's all about education in our summer edition. Then in September/October, we took a step back and we considered the impact of the CDI profession on the world with topics like CDI and the continuum of care and the role of ancillary documentation in CDI. Our final edition this year was titled Quality and Health Equity, with topics like how to deepen your quality reviews and how diversity, equity, and inclusion can enhance CDI efforts. And you can find all of these editions still on the Actus website and even earn a CEU, just as Linnea mentioned, up to a year after their publication by reading them and filling out a brief quiz. And starting off 2026, very strong. We have an edition that's full of articles centered on provider engagement and interdepartmental collaboration, which we'll publish, as Linnea said, very shortly. So I do want to pause and just express our deep gratitude to every single person who's taken the time this year to sit with one of the ACTIS editors for an interview, or even wrote an article themselves. We really appreciate you all, and the CDI Journal wouldn't be what it is without you. And if you'd like to contribute an article in 2026, our next topics will be clinical encoding for the March-April edition, and then all about denials in May-June. So some great topics yet to come. And we'll include the submission link in the show notes if you'd like to learn more about it. And yeah, it's going to be another amazing year full of CDI education. I know I'm not just speaking for the CDI Journal when I say that either.
That's right. I think that's my cue to talk about the ACTIS member quarterly calls, which have had some equally great topics in 2025. And these quarterly calls are a great opportunity for ACTIS members to really dive into some of the most pertinent topics that are being discussed right then. We always have a lively panel discussion featuring members of the ACTIS Advisory Board who are able to really dig deep into some of the issues that all of us are seeing. So for 2025, we had some really great sessions. And the first quarterly call featured a discussion on acute skin failure. And that was one of our most popular calls of the year, because that is such an interesting topic to look into. And don't forget, you have the opportunity to ask your questions of the panel as well. So it's a very useful resource for ACTIS members. And just as with the CDI Journal, you can claim a ACTIS CEU for listening to these. And that CEU is available for up to a year post-program release. So that's very helpful. So if you miss one, you can always go back and claim that CEU. We also had a very relevant discussion about high impact queries in the second quarterly call. And then the third one, that was a busy one because we had to cover both an extensive look at the IPPS changes, which we went through with our ACTIS CDI Education Director, Deanne Wilk. Always so useful to cover that topic every August. And then we looked at how do you really demonstrate the value of your CDI program and what you're working on. And we had lots of really great real-world practical advice in that call. And then finally, just last month, we had a conversation about encephalopathy and delirium with some of the ACTIS CDI instructors. And that is an ever popular topic with just lots of questions coming up related to that. So well worth going back and listening to it if you missed it. I did want to let you know that you can register now for the quarterly calls that we're going to have in 2026. We will be using a new platform, which will be nice, instead of GoToWebinar. They will be hosted on Zoom. So go to the ACTIS website and look under the member resources section where you can find the quarterly calls page. We do have those grouped by year. So there's a link for the 2026 year. And once you go to that, you can register for each of those programs. So obviously it's quarterly, so there are four per year. So you go ahead and register for each of those, and that way you can put it on your calendar and you can plan to be there because you really don't want to miss it. They are such a great part of your ACTIS membership benefits. And talking about interesting topics that we've covered over the year, I'm going to pass it over to Carla.
Yeah, we had a packed schedule this year with events, and while I'd love to break down all of them, there's just too much to cover in too short of a period of time. So I just want to highlight the 2025 ACTIS conference. We all gathered together in May this past year, and we were so excited to return to sunny Orlando. If you know the ACTIS team, you know we love our warm weather, and to get to be joined by so many of you. So our theme was inspire, and we asked attendees to consider the question, who will you inspire? And that energy and motivation really carried us through a busy but exciting week of learning and networking. I always say that the ACTIS conference is truly an annual highlight for me because it allows me the opportunity to meet so many members of our CDI community in person. I email with so many of you or collaborate on committees or work on webinars. And so it's just, for me, really rewarding and exciting when we finally have the chance to meet face to face. But as one chapter closes, another begins. And so shortly after the 2025 conference, we hit the ground running on planning the 2026 ACTUS conference. This is going to take place in April, April 20th to the 23rd in Chicago. Our theme this year for 2026 is Empower. And we invite you to join us and think about how empowering each other today can really allow us to transform the CDI industry tomorrow. As part of this event, we're really excited to introduce two new tracks, a technology and analytics track focused on artificial intelligence, data analysis, and technological advancements, as well as a pediatrics and neonatology track, which focuses on the nuances of CDI specific to the youngest population. Attendees of the conference will have the opportunity to earn 13 CEUs from ACTUS, HEMA, NARI, and ANCC, with more to come. We're also currently offering a $100 discount for those who register by February 16th. And as always, ACTUS members can save an additional $100. So do check out the link in today's show notes to view the full agenda, see all of the interesting topics we're covering, and to register. And just one more quick thing to highlight before I close out. I know 'tis the season for many holidays, including the ACTUS Pocket Guide publication. So as always, I am ending my year with publishing the ACTUS Pocket Guides. Some of you already have your copy of the 2026 ACTUS Pocket Guide because it published in November. And I'm really happy to say that in addition to all of the normal coding clinic and ICD-10-CM updates, we've also included the new SOFA 2 criteria, as well as a new condition, neonatal respiratory distress syndrome. And coming soon is the 2026 ACTUS Outpatient Pocket Guide. Actually, as you're listening to this, we're polishing up the final manuscript and sending it off to the printer. So focused on diagnoses common to the outpatient and ambulatory settings, the ACTUS Outpatient Pocket Guide will publish in January, and it features all of the latest coding and HCC updates, as well as a new condition, atherosclerosis. And with that, I could continue to talk about all the things we've done this year, but I think we're running a little low on time. So I am going to pass it back to Linnea.
Yeah, I feel like we could probably just do a whole update just on one of the pocket guides. So kudos to you for highlighting both of them in one go. If you didn't receive your pocket guide as a holiday gift this year, maybe it's a gift to you, to yourself in the new year. Definitely check those out. Lots of new good stuff there. Before we officially close out, I just have one final update for you all, which is that if you are listening to this episode when it publishes, the ACTUS office is currently closed for our holiday break. We will be back on Monday, January 5th. We do hope that you are also enjoying some time off for rest, reflection, and relaxation as we enter 2026 together. We can't wait to see where this year takes us. And as always, you can find the links for everything that we discussed in today's show notes. Before we close out, just a reminder that the ACTUS podcast does offer 0.5 ACTUS CEU, which can be used toward recertifying your CCDS or CCDSO credential, typically for those of you who listen to the show in the first 4 days from the time of publication. However, due to the holidays, we have extended the deadline for this week's episode. To receive your 0.5 ACTUS CEU, go to the show page on ACTUS.org by clicking on the ACTUS podcast link under the free resources tab, and then clicking on today's episode from the list on that page. Then simply scroll down to the recording of the episode and click play. At the end of the video, all the way when the timer gets to zero, a link to the CEU evaluation will appear. Simply click that link, take the survey, and your certificate will be automatically emailed to you upon submitting that brief evaluation. Those instructions are laid out on the show page as well, so you can follow along there. To ensure your certificate reaches you and doesn't get trapped in your organization's spam filters, we do suggest that you use a personal email address when you complete that CEU evaluation form. And as I mentioned, we have extended the cutoff for today's episode. So the cutoff for the episode CEU is extended until Wednesday, January 7th at 11 p.m. Eastern.
After that point, the CEU period will close and you will no longer be eligible for the 0.5 CEU for this week's episode. And with that, we have reached the end of the ACTUS podcast today and for the 2025 year. We will be back in 2 weeks on Wednesday, January 14th with a new episode hosted by yours truly to kick off our 2026 season. If you would like to receive reminders about each episode, make sure you're subscribed to our free weekly newsletter, CDI Strategies, which always includes a link to the new episode when it's available. You can listen to the show anytime on the ACTUS website or via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. All of the links that we discussed today will be in the show notes. And as always, we would really appreciate it if you would take a minute and leave us a 5-star review on your podcast app to help others find our show as well. Our intro and outro music is Media Noche by Dion Key, and our ad music is Take Me Higher by Jazar, both obtained from the Free Music Archive. If you have any suggestions for future guests or topics, you can always email us at info@actus.org. And until next time, Happy New Year and take care, everyone.